besides the commissioners? I left in a hurry.
One more.
How cute, it has a USB.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Let's hope they're not going to the other room.
I went to the other room. I told them.
Oh, you did? God.
I put everything on the table when I ran to the bathroom and I came back and the person said, pretty busy. Oh, we're having a meeting here too. And I remember.
No, other room.
Was the other room taken today?
Yeah, they kind of reserved it. I guess they had something for a couple days and they wanted to maintain that. They didn't want to remove their program that they had for several days already in there. So they asked if they, for one time, wouldn't mind moving in this room. So
well, I don't mind
us
at all.
This is nice. We get the nice chairs.
Well, it's not as cold.
I was going to say it's warmer than the other room.
Oh. Read all that little print. Yeah. I refer to it, I'm sure. Jeez.
Jenny can read it to you now. Hmm? She can read it to you now.
You want to read out loud? Do oral reading?
Do oral reading. It's almost been a year since I got it fixed. Yeah. And I can read it just fine from here.
Were we having trouble reading past?
I had stigmatism in both eyes, so it was just blurry all the way around.
Yeah. That's what mine is, too. They're doing marvelous things with magnifying stuff now. Mm-hmm. Those pictures are so pretty, too. This room was closed right after the earthquake. I mean, this building.
The building was closed.
The building was closed. They closed the library, too, if you can imagine. The central library was closed.
We were standing outside of the shelter, and then all of a sudden, there's just wave, and we're like, oh, God.
Was it?
Yeah.
Up here?
We felt it over at the shelter. Me and Jessica were standing outside, and then there was just this wave.
I was in my car at the light. My car started going like this.
Yeah. It was noisy.
I thought it was
kind of gets your attention.
Yeah, I was like, what's going on?
It was noisy at my house.
Oh, really?
I was in the shower.
It was just a
rolling noise.
Yeah,
rolling.
Then it rolled, and then you knew we were going to have an after show.
Back-to-back.
I jumped in my car and I left, so I didn't feel that at all.
I was on the corner of Baseline and at the Walgreens.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the car, and all of a sudden the car started moving, and I looked at the lights, and they started moving. I looked at the entrance of the store. People were just standing there, just nonchalant.
I bet you they had no idea what was going on.
No.
I live 2 miles south of DeVore,
the
Vertimont area, so we were basically right underneath
right
it.
Right underneath it, sure.
And I guess it was the beginning of it, but it seemed like you could just hear it coming.
Yes.
You know, just like build up, and then it was just a jolt.
Yeah, that's the way I felt. And then I heard this a rumble underneath the. As I said, I was in the shower. I never moved so fast in my life. I'm not kidding. Dressed
to be in the shower,
naked under the kitchen table. You know what?
It's terrible.
I could see how a big one would just be. I mean, it could happen so fast and it'd be so devastating.
Yeah. Did you get a lot of one? We had one aftershock. Did you have one?
Yeah, we had. There was a few.
Were there a few?
Yeah,
yeah.
About two or three that we felt.
Yeah. And they call that earthquake lady all the time, you know. And she's, oh well, if you don't have another one in 3 days, you know, you're fine. That lady that always talks on TV, whatever her name is, that's in charge of earthquakes in California.
Yeah. over at, during the Northridge earthquake. That's where my uncle and cousins lived, and their pool cracked in half, and there's part of the house that was falling into where the pool was.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was bad.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Gosh.
And then the water damage from all the pool water.
How many people died in that earthquake?
Oh, I don't remember.
Not many.
There were a number of them, weren't there?
There wasn't that many.
I can't remember.
It wasn't that many. Just the ones in those apartment buildings where the second floor caved into the first. Those were the only ones.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
But boy, that was DeVore. Yeah. They felt it all over Southern California. Everybody felt it.
Yeah, and when I heard it, though, they said it was 2 miles south.
It was closer to the closer to the 15 than the 215.
Yeah, it was right. Basically, the epicenter was right there at the Glen Helen
amphitheater.
Oh,
yeah. And I just lived south of that.
Yeah. She said it was very shallow. It was a shallow.
We got a quorum.
That's it.
Hello. There comes some people. They're finding their way in.
Mm-hmm. We have enough.
Tall chairs.
Mm-hmm. Here. For me, because I walked.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Fine.
It's 4:04, and let's call this meeting in order. Do I have a second?
Second.
I'll do so. Meeting is in order. I'm Al Perez, Commissioner for Ward 1.
Marilyn Taub from Ward 7.
Marilyn Sauer, Mayor Appointee.
Jeff Frank, 5th Ward.
Cassie Levy, Mayoral Appointee.
Jane Geidiger, Ward 2.
Jennifer Jenner, Animal Control Supervisor, Kennel Supervisor.
Oscar Perez, Animal Control Manager.
Okay. We have no one from the public, so we don't have any public comments. Let us proceed with approval from the minutes. We have the minutes in front of us for the last meeting of the 14th of October, 2015. Let's take a couple of 5 minutes to go through the notes.
coughs, nobody sneezes, nobody clears their throat. That's pretty good.
Am I the slowest reader? Shame on you.
Motion to approve the minutes.
I move that we approve these meeting minutes. I slowly read.
Second.
Motion approved. Oscar, do you have this month's report?
Yes. Summer? All right, so I'm going to give you guys a handout for all the numbers. For November, December, and then you'll see for the full year from January to December of 2015, and then the final report is for the entire year of 2014, simply to use as comparison. Okay, so we'll cover the stats first, and then I'll let you know what's going on in regards to programs and events that had occurred. If you look at how we did in December, we were pushing for that 10% euthanasia rate or lower. We hit it at 12%. One of the things that really helped us quite a bit was the reduction in the number of animal intakes that we took, which was 50% lower in December than versus last year in December. Mm. Yeah, so quite a few animals less than what we're accustomed to, which is a good thing. It helps keep us on our feet. A lot of that probably has to do with the loss of contract between the two cities that we lost. However, it can't all be due to that, simply because the reduction average is about between 30 and 40% across the board on all the numbers. So I think a lot of this might just be that we just have a slower influx of animals coming into the shelter, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think, I'm just guessing here, but it could be that people are just keeping their animals more. Versus the past years where more people were giving up their animals or surrendering their animals. If you look in November, we were 20% lower versus last year on the intakes, and we were at a 14% euthanasia rate. The good news is, which was very surprising, was for the entire year, we came in at a 13% euthanasia rate. Surprising considering we were in the high 20s. Starting at the beginning of the year, so the team really pushed hard to make sure that the latter half of the year we brought that number down overall. So we're just going to continue chewing away at that for the rest of this year, and hopefully right now we're at about 15% for the fiscal year, so since July. So the number's still lower than I had anticipated, but it gives us a good starting point in regards to trying to get it down below that 10% goal. So, and versus if you look at 2014, we cut it by more than half in regards to the euthanasia rate. So, good news on that aspect right there. Okay? Any questions?
And that, again, is due to the fewer numbers that you're taking in?
A little bit of both. I think it's our control methods in regards to and working more with the rescue groups. The rescue groups have taken on a big burden in regards to the number of animals that they are taking from us, but it's only been like a 3% difference increase versus 2014. Mm-hmm. So we're not putting all of it on them, but obviously without them, as you look at the adopted ratio, they're about two-thirds of what's taken out of our facility. So we definitely are relying on them heavily. But a lot of these animals are getting adopted by them. So that still provides us with some income, as well as take ownership of that animal. But they are doing very well in regards to finding homes for these animals. And now we've moved into the area where they are providing more funding for medical, towards animals that require medical needs that are more advanced than what we can provide them.
Who's providing the more funding? You mean the people
the rescue
groups?
The rescue groups, okay. Correct. And so it's starting to get coordinated a lot more than before. It's not as scattered. The money is still being funneled into General Dog and Cat Hospital, which is now referred to Advanced Pet Care. They changed their name.
And who's they?
The doctors did. So
they sold.
They sold. So so that kind of took away the complaining from the rescues that they didn't like General because of the and a lot of people didn't, and there was a lot of negativity that came with that.
Sure.
So with the new doctor on board, or new doctors actually on board, even though it's the same facility and the upgrades and the change of name, they can't use that excuse anymore. So it's going to help us move this year. My goal this year is to kind of push more towards utilizing them, as well as kind of going back to the animals as they are released need to be spay and neutered by us.
What is the new name again? Advanced
Pet Care? Advanced Pet Care.
And that includes the animals that are well, I probably know the answer to this. I like to see us move to spaying and neutering all animals, period. Even animals that go
and that's the direction I want to go in. Like I said, I don't want to rock the boat right now because my fear is it's going to impact our numbers and in regards to the saving of these animals. But I'm seeing way too much information now and video and pictures, especially the ones that are going out of state, that they are not following through.
Sure. And especially purebreds.
Exactly.
Some of these groups are selling them in order to people
that are breeding them.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's understandable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I said, without the proof, I can't
right
say anything about it, but I can definitely try to do something about it. And I don't want to just throw all these new policies into place and drive people away. I want to slowly move into it and get people to understand why we're doing that.
Yeah.
So, but it's definitely for the right reasons.
About how many rescue groups are we working with?
Wow, we're talking easily in the hundreds if you connect each of the rescue groups. Directly that are at the shelter.
Yeah.
At the shelter, we're talking probably 20 to 30
okay
individuals that come in,
that
including networkers as well as transporters. But we do work with ones that are outside of the state, that they will connect with the ones that are dealing directly with us and then partner with them in getting those animals out of state.
What do you require from them in order to...
We require a spay-neuter certificate from them. When, in regards to once they take that animal, if they do not provide that to us within the 60 days, then what ends up happening is they are put on a do not adopt list anymore.
Okay.
And they are not allowed to take animals from us. However, the problem is what they do is they utilize a different individual to come collect the animal, so they find a way around the system. So
if they were doing it right and they wanted to not spay the animal because it was purebred, what would they do then?
They would just not. Two things. They could either privately adopt it and pay down, or what is it called? A spay-neuter deposit. Thank you. And they don't get that deposit back if they don't provide us with the certification.
Okay.
So they're just paying that and bypassing it and going
away. We don't
away
have any blessing for...
So that's one of the things we need to change.
Yeah, that's why we need to move to no animal leaves without being spayed or neutered.
Well, but what about purebred dogs? I mean, I hate to think that someday there won't be any.
Oh, there'll always be.
Always,
because there's always private breeders that people can purchase from, just not within the city limits. So, but we have to take ownership of the animals that we take ownership of in making sure that these are not going out to breeders. So, because that's just going to, next thing you know, you're going to find that female in the street.
Sure.
Months down the road, years down the road, who knows, left and abandoned because they're all
too
puppied
old
out
to make puppies.
But even in the city limits, if you are an exhibitor,
you can get a breeder's permit.
Yeah, because they have to be unneutered to show dogs, don't they?
Oh, right.
Correct.
Right. So you can't.
So, but unfortunately, some breeders are utilizing that as a way to get around the system, and they don't actually show the dogs. They are simply breeding to sell. But I talked to our attorneys, and they've said that if we take them to court, they have to prove that they've shown that dog within the last year.
Mm.
And if they aren't able to do that, then they will be fined. Mm. So. We just have to do our legwork. That's what it
is. I don't need to know. I'm just a little curious where all this comes from. Like, we can't have dog breeders in the city. We don't want puppy mills. I understand that.
That is actually an ordinance. within the city limits. There is no breeding within the city limits at all.
No official breeding.
No official breeding, correct.
No official breeding, yeah.
But like I said, there's always loopholes and there's ways people get around it. So that's what we have to
do. I'm just curious about the why of that.
Because people aren't responsible, I think, is what it comes down to. It is portrayed as irresponsible the way, and there's no way for us to monitor that. If people are backyard breeders, unless somebody reports them, there's no way to do that. If we require a permit, we have a hard enough time trying to get people to do tags for their dogs, licensing, let alone a breeder's permit. That's money out of their pocket. Most people will not do it.
I take the Riverside paper, and every day I read to see what dogs are for sale, you know. And I just can't believe the prices they're asking now.
But people will pay.
So I'm hoping those are the responsible breeders. Naively, perhaps.
Well,
we're responsible.
There's a lot of backyard breeders out there.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on. All right, so we had an incident last week due to the inclement weather. A couple of the roofs were leaking. None of the animals were hurt. Nobody was injured, but it was portrayed as such. But a lot of people rallied very quickly to help support us in regards to getting the supplies we needed to fix the problem, to get put an immediate fix on it.
How did you get the word out?
Actually, the networkers got the word out. They posted a video showing that the roofs were leaking. I know the city was a little concerned in regards to how it was portrayed, but I think it should be looked at as a positive because it brought together the community immediately. The turnaround time was immediate. We had individuals that came over that simply volunteered their time and the supplies to put temporary tarps on the ceilings to stop the immediate rainwater. And then we had an individual in Washington, another networker, who contacted the local Home Depots, and they provided us tarps that were big enough that that one tarp would cover the entire building. They provided us two of those, and they were $170 each.
Wow.
Rescue was going to purchase them for us, but Home Depot automatically donated them.
Yeah. And did they donate the time for putting the tarp on?
They offered to send people to help us, but we were concerned about liability issues, considering we didn't know what the condition on top of the roof was. So I didn't want to have people going through the roofs. From that direction.
Either direction.
Make it a worse situation. But the individuals that did show up for the rescuers, they broke the rules a little bit, but that was my fault. They went up and got up there, just took care of business and wrapped.
The volunteers.
Exactly.
Wow.
Took care of stuff and put up the and then the next day, a couple of my staff members went up there. When we got the larger tarps, and then we put the larger tarps up there with the sandbags. We still have one more to do, but it's a temporary fix right now. Sure. And then I'm working with city facilities to get them to seal the roofs once the weather calms down a little bit, once we're past the rainy season. So we're going to take care of that avenue altogether.
Are you saying now that the networkers kind of talked with you about we're going to put a video out about
No, I wasn't aware of it at all. They
That's
just
the
posted
problem.
It. Yeah, they just posted it, and I know someone from the city was concerned about that and expressed concern. So I just answered the questions that were sent to me in regards to what happened and so forth, and just promoted it more on a positive light.
Did we notice that they were filming?
No, I did not know they were filming.
They were always out there filming every single day. They go out to every individual kennel. And they have names for all the dogs, and they film every single thing that they can.
So I wasn't aware that they were filming what they were working on the roof. So I'm sorry.
Is there an ordinance or rule that they're not allowed to film?
No, there isn't. Because it is of a public access area, so therefore there's only certain areas within the shelter that are enclosed where they are not allowed to film.
Yeah.
And they're not allowed into. But the other areas, since they're public access, they or have the right to film.
If you look at SBC shelter dogs, you'll see most of the stuff on that Facebook site. They're the ones that posted the video of the rain. I was sick in bed, and it made me cold and freezing to look at that video. Mm-hmm. And it upset me to look at it, but then the LA Times, because I sent Oscar the video too. I said, an LA Times reporter is talking about posting this, you know, but it turned out that it was, that it mobilized the right people.
Correct.
To actually get out there.
Correct.
So that was a good thing.
So, and I think being that the rescues and networkers were involved in it, they kept it on a positive level.
Yeah.
So that was a big plus for us. Because normally they would, I think it started out as a negative because they were portraying it to create a sense of urgency.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I clarified that in regards to the ceiling wasn't falling apart, it wasn't falling down, it just wasn't sealed properly. So therefore, the water was leaking in, but there were no animals that were being injured. Mm-hmm. It was leaking down towards the middle primarily. Mm-hmm. So that water was simply sitting in the middle of the kennels where the walkway is between the animals. So ultimately, the problem was resolved, and that's what my main concern was.
Now, there's a... I'm sorry.
That's okay.
There's a website. If I have asked this before, forgive me. But I know we have these rescue groups stepping up, but there is a Facebook page for, what is it called? Anyway, it's a support group for the shelter.
Mm-hmm.
Do they do anything? I mean, I don't see anything that they do. I do see Maria's group posting mm-hmm. videos and pictures of dogs, which she puts out there for adoptions and rescues, mm-hmm. which I can't criticize because she does, for the most part, get positive stuff going with that. But it seems to me that most shelters have groups that support them, that help out with adoption events, that would help out in a situation like this.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I was overwhelmed by the number of emails from different groups that were offering their help.
And that's wonderful.
I had to stop them and tell them, please stop.
Yeah.
Because we have people in the works already taking care of it, and they were ready to send it. I had a group from San Pedro, some shipwreck or shippers or what do they call them?
Longshoremen.
Thank you. That were ready to come out, and they weren't going to ask permission. They were just coming out, and they were going to take care of the problem. And that's what this first group did. She just showed up and said, we're here to take care of this. We're tired of this, discussing it back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And on one hand, I'm sitting there thinking, bless your heart, because... You know, more people are talking than action.
Were they all women? Were they men and women?
The group that showed up initially was one woman and her son.
Oh.
That's it.
Oh.
And the son got up there and he took care of business. And she tried to help him from the side. And then the next day it was a gentleman and I think another woman. But I ended up having to go to meetings that afternoon so more people could have shown up because I know there was at least... two other women the first day that showed up. I don't know if they were helping or not. I didn't get to see that part. So, but I'm assuming they did. So, to me, it doesn't matter as long as people are safe.
As long as they're sure.
They're safe, and if they want to take care of it, I'll supply them with whatever they need, just as long as they do it in a safe fashion.
So, and as long as they're not there to gather negative information that they're going to
and that,
put
you know
all
what I didn't
place.
See any of that. I
Good.
Didn't even in the emails nobody was fighting. People were fighting to take care of it.
Good. That's
and
great.
So like I said, I think most things are starting to turn a little bit.
Yeah.
There's still going to be the groups that are negative that are going to be constantly complaining about mm-hmm. it has to be better. Mm-hmm. Yes, everything has to be better. Mm-hmm. Can it happen overnight? No, it can't. So ultimately they need to be patient.
Yep.
So, but we're going in that direction, so I have to calm down. But I'll have to admit I'm getting a lot less hate mail on Tuesdays when I come in than I used to before. So that's a good thing
I
in
bet
my
you
opinion.
Got it.
Yeah. So, but, you know, I still try to do what I can to answer those.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Oscar, I'm feeling really frustrated because my knowledge is less than I'd like for it to be. When you said there were responders, mm-hmm. is that the first term you used? I assumed that meant they were good guys.
Oh. They respond positively or negatively, huh?
But that includes both.
Yeah.
A little bit,
sure.
But most of it is leaning towards the positive end.
Good.
So we have positive and negative responders. Do we have positive and negative rescue groups?
Yes. But here's the beauty of it. The people, the positive is starting to outweigh the negative, and being that the positive rescue groups and networks are seeing the difference that we're making, they are the ones that are now handling the negative. They are taking care of that as opposed to my staff having to deal with it or me having to answer 1,500 emails of people that are angry. See, you know, so these people will stand up for us now, and that's, I let them fight the battle for us.
I think
I'm so naive, I'm thinking of that great article that was in the Sun Telegram, and I think, didn't people read it? You know,
it's
about how
short-lived.
It improved and everything.
It's short-lived. People, in my opinion, I think people want someone to be angry at, and, we're the perfect target.
For sure. But maybe this reduction in statistics should somehow make the paper again. No?
They call me a liar. I had a lady call me a liar.
They don't want to accept it.
No, they don't.
Some people don't. Some people just want to accept
this. This has gone on for years and years and years. It'll never stop.
It is, and unfortunately, it's coming from the crazies in the movement.
There
are people with common sense in the movement and crazies, and they are opposite extremes.
And we've had, the Humane Society has had horrid things in the past.
I think
that's calmed down, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think part of this might be a result of the tragedy that happened on the 2nd. San Bernardino's been on the spotlight almost every single day in the news, in the media.
Yeah.
Not only nationally, but globally. I think that part of it also is they feel for us. We're the Paris, France of the United States.
Yep.
And I think that it's the beginning of something great.
I agree with
that. That has united the city, has united the state, has united the county. I mean, I'm a little concerned about them videotaping. Mm-hmm. I'm a little concerned about we need to take a proactive approach on that.
Well, here's the thing. I want to kind of ease your mind a little bit on this. We have nothing to hide.
I know.
My concern is if we start putting in regulations to prevent people from doing that, it's going to make people very suspicious.
Sure.
They'll have to send their drone over.
Let them. And that's my mentality in the emails that I send out to these people every week. Is I say, if you have a question, just ask me. They don't have to go through channels, public records, whatever. Yes, some individuals that are asking for too much information, we require them to do that. But in regards to simple answers, in regards to why we euthanize an animal, they can ask, and I will provide them that information. And it's gotten more positive feedback since I've done that versus the way it's been done the years before, because people were seeking out. They felt we were hiding something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They were lining us up for that. Oh, yeah. So for me to give them the information in advance has taken a lot of the workload off of us in regards to people thinking, okay. And now they're more open and accepting to the responses I give them in regards to the direction we're going, what we're doing to fix it, and maybe even the mistakes that we've made. Mm-hmm. And they're okay with that because somebody's being honest with them.
Do we have any cameras monitoring?
No, that's the thing. I don't have a security system. Mm-hmm. So that's a bit of a challenge. It's on our wish list. It's quite a bit of money. But hopefully somebody will come around and spend the money on us. But ultimately, that's something, a direction I want to go in. I don't want to go to the level where sound is included.
No, that's not necessary.
Because it's not a prison. You know, ultimately, it's a shelter. It's my main concern is to protect the animals. So if we have people that are violating our policies in regards to networking and whatever, giving them snacks, going in areas that are not allowed, I can have video as proof. Yep. So that way it doesn't come back on the city.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the direction I'm going. But I'd be nice to them until it's time not to be nice. Okay. Is the way I'm looking at it. Okay? Yep. Okay?
And wouldn't the cost of that be something? I mean, I'm just thinking, when is this new shelter proposed to start?
We are. This is a game plan right now. The captain has given me till the end of this year to finalize the property. Okay? That will give us, as soon as I get finalization, we begin the fundraising. And what I'm doing right now is I'm basically collecting fundraisers. So that way I can hit it on multiple avenues. Right now we're looking at about 6 different groups that are going to be fundraising for us. Some are connected to celebrities. Others are connected to big businesses. Mm-hmm. So we're hitting it from different angles. I'm kind of warming up the businesses right now to get them to kind of, I want you guys to know about this. So this is down the road. So that way they can kind of plan for it, okay?
Because soon they'll sell bricks with your name on it or something, right?
I'm hoping that down the road, we already thought about that, but what we're looking at is for every donor is having a brick automatically. So that way they're getting something in return in regards to recognition from us. So we've thought about that, but the price keeps going up.
Yeah.
You know, we're looking at $1.5 million, $2 million, Now it's gone up to 4 million.
It will always be more than that.
Yeah, and,
sure.
And so that requires more donors.
Speaking of, no, there's no way that you could say December 2nd caused some expenses to your department. Since I read in the paper today, it looks like the federal government was going to be very generous in reimbursing the police department and other agencies.
Right. Well, I'll get to that in regards to what happened to us that day.
Oh, you have a plan. Good.
Well, not necessarily a plan, but what happened to us that day.
Yeah.
How we were involved in the offset. So let me get to that.
Okay.
All right, so definitely another thing that in regards to the cold weather, that was brought up to as a concern by the public. So they've been inundating us with sweaters, blankets galore.
I was going to bring some. I won't now.
Please, yeah. I think we've reached capacity. and the worst part is a lot of people are coming. They want to see their donations being used, which is understandable. But they don't understand the aspect that the concerns that we have in regards to trying to put a sweater on a dog that is already in an environment that it's terrified. And it could lead to a safety issue, okay? And it has led to a couple safety issues, so we've had to back off. Or me walking in the morning and every little dog has their
sweater
on the floor because it's too warm in the building. And I think a lot of people don't take into consideration that these animals that are coming from San Bernardino, 9 times out of 10, they're not indoor animals. They're outdoor animals, so they're acclimated to the cold weather.
Yep.
And then with the heat that we provide inside the building and on the floors... That provides enough for them, and then the sweater ends up being uncomfortable.
I've got a mental picture of all this. These little sweaters.
Yeah, hanging on the thing, lined up on the floor.
They can't cuddle up.
Well, the puppies can, or the smaller dogs, because we put them in 4 or 5 in a kennel, and most of them we put baskets in there, so they're, you'll find them in the morning all cuddled up together.
Sure.
And I mean, it's cute.
Sure.
But then the sweaters will be all over. So. Okay, but I did send out an email calming a few people down that were complaining, that concerned that we weren't taking care of because we are an outdoor facility. But I reassured them with the heaters that were sent. The electrical was another issue because the circuit breakers kept shorting out, or not really, what do they call it, popping or whatever. But we run one heater per. We have the thermoregulated floors, which I started scanning them every single morning, and it ranged minimum 65 to 75 degrees on the cement. Okay, middle of the building was about 40 degrees, but the dogs aren't in the air, and that's what I tried to explain to them. They were on the ground. They all have blankets, and then they're in an enclosed area outside of the elements as much as possible. So... between all that, now we're going to try to look at insulating our couple of the buildings that are the coldest ones with the help of the rescues and the networkers. Okay. So that's the next step. Once I get a proper waiver, which I've received one today from the attorneys. So we should be good to go in the next couple of weeks, hopefully to resolve, do some metal work and woodwork on those buildings and get them up to par in regards to that. Okay? We did have some volunteers that wanted to do electrical, but that's too much of a liability.
You bet.
That was too big. So we said no. Okay? Yeah. All right. So moving on. One of the new programs that was put into effect, we started working on it in November. It's going to be more of a veterans program. A couple things. I was approached by a gentleman from the Young Warriors Corps Academy. And what he's looking for is companion dogs for veterans that have PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And they would simply, we would provide the animals, they would reimburse us the cost, they would take care of the training, but they wanted veterans that would connect with certain animals. It didn't matter what kind of breed it was. So that's a process. He's going to get back to me this month, but that's a process we're working on. And that puts us in another step in the right direction in regards to providing veterans preference over listed dogs. So if there's a waiting list for an animal, any veteran that comes in would get preferential treatment on that list. And that's something we need to advertise first, otherwise a lot of people are going to be upset. So until I can finalize that program, that's something that's in the works.
What was that group again?
It was the Young Warriors Corps Academy.
Oh.
That would help with adopting the larger dogs.
Correct, sure. And that's what they're going for.
Yeah.
And this is something, because we were just doing the two events per year for the veterans. Where this organization would provide payment so that way veterans could get their animals for free. But I wanted to do something year round. So that's, I think, will kind of break us away from the from any other shelter, is promoting something like this year round. So I don't see anyone against this. So, no. And I would be very surprised if somebody did.
Yeah.
Okay. But like I said, this is something still in the works. Hopefully it doesn't fall through, but we do have the funding for it. So that's kind of the main thing right there. Okay. Cat hoarding incident. We had a cat hoarding incident. You guys probably saw it on the media. Channel 4 did come and do an interview on a positive light to kind of help us out, to get the word out that we had gotten over 70 cats from an individual's apartment. And she had more cats that were outside. We weren't able to trap all of them, but the kennel staff worked very well with the animal control officer in regards to getting all these cats collected, getting them processed, getting them into our system. And the good news was, in less than a week, we went from the over 70 cats to having only 12. Because
did
the rest
get the publicity, you think?
Was that,
yes.
The public took them?
The public was a small portion. It was mainly the rescue community that came in,
yeah,
as well as other shelters that came in and supported us and said,
great,
we will take, so you guys. But being that the cat rescuers are doing so well with us in keeping the animals out of there, putting 74 animals in individual cages was not a problem for us. And we didn't even notice, we didn't skip a beat, which was an amazing thing, because like I said, as quickly as they were in, they were out.
Yeah.
And that was big thanks to the rescue community for stepping up, as well as the media getting the public involved. And even after the cats were, most of them were gone, I still had people sending me emails saying, you can send cats here, you can send cats there, we'll take some. So the people are out there. It's just, I think we haven't utilized them enough, but I don't want to overextend our welcome as well. Okay?
Can I say something just
sure.
briefly? You're reminding me. My job, as some people may know and some people may not, was doing 5150 evaluations.
Okay.
To take people against their will to a mental health facility. And I'll never forget the day we got the referral to go and said, this lady's got to be crazy. She's got so many rescue. I don't remember if it was dogs or cats, but I think it was public health who told us. But we went out there to see it. None of you could believe how bad it is. You probably have seen it.
I've seen it.
The neighborhood, you could smell it.
Yeah. That's,
blocks
that's
away.
That's how it was reported.
Right. Yes.
And
yes.
When you went to get out of the car, it was like almost you wanted
yeah.
to gag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so the people came, maybe from the animal shelter, I forget, but they went through and they found only about two dogs inside that were sick, or two cats and three outside. And she was spending, I think she said, $200 a week on food.
But I bet you none of them were spayed or neutered, right?
Well, no. So 1 week it was,
yeah.
You know, they'd multiply. But, I mean, we've all known cat hoarders and all that kind of stuff. San Bernardino had that famous lady on Highland, was it, out in Musquod?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And people couldn't live in this town for more than 6 months without hearing about her. But I
think she's still around, but she has a permit. She has a special permit. So we periodically check. It was the last I was told. We periodically check in on her, but she's maintaining a very clean environment for him. So as long as she's able to do that, we can't really do anything. So, but at least we're keeping an eye on it.
Yeah, I can't be the same cat lady because
she was old.
Yeah, because I took a cat there when I was like in fifth grade, and she was old.
Okay,
then.
So this is another one. Okay.
Yeah.
She lived in a mobile home in the middle of a parking
around.
Lot or something like
was that.
That.
Yeah, this one's more. In
yeah, that's right. What?
In the northern area, northern of north
this
part
was
of
on
San Bernardino
Avenue.
Okay, so. Okay, well.
Anyway, I just
wanted to hang up there.
Yeah, I guess.
Around up there.
Pass them along, I guess. I don't know. So where we're at right now in regards to the CAP program is working extremely well because we're only sitting at about 10% capacity right now in regards to cats in general.
That's
so
good.
That's a positive. Yeah. Keeping our fingers crossed on that one. All right, so staffing issues. We are interviewing this month for animal control officer as well as the part-time kennel staff members. And then we have moved the kennel staff members to 4/10s. So they are now working 10-hour shifts. So that hopefully will create more of a positive environment as well in regards to that they'll have 3 days off a week and we'll have them there longer periods to kind of make sure we finalize a lot of things with the animals per day. So that hopefully that's a good positive move in the right direction.
How many more new positions?
Animal control officers, I believe we're looking at, we need two more. Okay. And then part-time kennel staff members, we're looking at 5. Yeah, and then we do also have, we're opening up a position for the front-end staff, which is probably going to, hopefully will come up next month.
And the funding is available for this then?
What's that?
The funding is available for this?
The funding has been available for these. It's just Captain Williams has been very delicate about bringing in and filling these positions because we didn't want to overspend our budget.
Yeah.
So now that we're starting to save money and balance things out, and a large part of the money that we haven't had to spend was due because the rescues have donated to mm-hmm. us. So that saves us money. So now we can roll that into payroll in order to start
sure.
bringing some of these positions
yeah,
in, especially now that we're starting to get busy. And being more involved with the community is taking more manpower, so definitely we need more bodies. So, and then plus, with new positions opening up in the city, we've had to transfer some people over, or they've applied for different positions, so we've lost a couple people because of that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And then trying to get the time frame to get it fulfilled is a challenge. So, but definitely we're starting to get the ball rolling this year, so hopefully this will be a good year for us. Okay? And then, all right, so the other last couple things I want to cover with you guys. So the homeless support thing I discussed the last meeting, it's doing okay. I was presented with a bit of a challenge by the chief, wanted to make sure it didn't conflict with us being perceived as helping the homeless. We wanted to make sure we kept a separate thing on that.
You didn't want to help the homeless.
It's not that. It's not that. It's my goal is to help the animals. I'm not there to help the homeless individuals. I'm there to help the animals. And I wanted to make sure that was the message that was being sent across.
Mm-hmm.
Because the purpose is to make sure that a couple things, that the animals' welfare is taken care of, that we're being responsible with that, as well as they are. And that we're promoting goodwill, that we'll provide them with food for the animals.
For how long?
As long as they need it.
Oh, wow.
Because the donations, we have yet to have to spend any money to buy pet food because of what we've been donated.
Wow.
And so we have a sufficient amount that we can provide these animals with the food they need. So that way we make sure that they're eating correctly.
How do you get the food to them?
Through my animal control officers.
Oh, okay.
So we'll drive around. Well, we'll drive around if there are certain parks that we'll see them at or certain sections, especially during the rainy season. Wanda actually brought up an excellent part of where she had noticed some individuals that had dogs, and we had gone to that, and we had sent an officer out to that area simply to provide them with the food. Now, we also provide them with the information of how they can get the animal spay neutered for free.
Good.
As well as the shots for free. And we will try to support them financially as much as possible.
Are they pretty positive about that when you say what we can do for what the shelter can do for their animals to make them?
It's all based on the approach. So my immediate approach when I was going out to them is as soon as I get out of the vehicle, I explain to them, I'm not here to take your animal.
Good.
And they start to calm down. And once they see that I've been providing them, hey, do you guys need food? And then talk a little bit about their animals, the spay and neutered. Would you be interested in doing that? You know, city ordinance, how long are you going to be here? I leave it on a positive level, and that's what I'm training my animal control officers to do. Be someone that they want to flag down to seek out help.
Sure.
If the animal is sick, I don't want them to be afraid to come to us and let us help them.
Uh-huh.
Because like I said, the priority has to be the animal, period. Okay, right. Now there's going to be some incidents like we might have that where we have to confiscate animals because they have too many.
Sure.
That allows us to control it as well. And sometimes we have to be the bad guy in that, mm-hmm. but we have to make sure we're looking out for the animals' best interest.
Yep.
Okay. They have too many. You somehow find out each person has how many?
Sometimes they're reported. The last one we had, they apparently had 10 dogs in a, and they were living out of their truck. So these animals were confiscated.
Poor dogs.
Okay,
poor
but they're
dogs.
Trying to get them back. But you'd be surprised. You know, a lot of these individuals take care of the animals better than they take care of themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it still doesn't fulfill the requirement that they're not spay-neutered, that they don't have their shots. Who knows if one of them is sick or not?
Sure.
We have to do our part to make sure that happens. But am I going to give him back the animal? I'm going to be very reluctant to do so because they're over the limit. They don't have a parcel. So... It's, but then again, I'm trapped with the idea that they do take care of their animals better than a lot of people do.
Yeah.
But then we also have the issue now with the new team, the police homeless team,
mm-hmm.
that is now cracking down on the parks, and they have to give them a, that first of all, they go in and they try to help all of those. They can find homes for anybody who wants a home. I think somebody said maybe 30% will take them up on it. 70% don't want anything.
Yeah.
So they're going into the parks. They started with Meadowbrook. Today they did Paris Hill and Wildwood. And they are giving them 72-hour notices to vacate.
What's the name of the group, too? I just heard about it.
Sergeant Gaetan is his homeless, I forget what they call that division. There's four people in it right now.
Yeah.
And, if they don't vacate, then they go in there and they start cleaning it out. There are a city crew through the end of the fiscal year that will be going in and helping them because the ACLU has said that they have to treat their belongings as valuable. The homeless used to just say, you know, you can do what you want with it. Now they have to tag it and catalog what they take and all of that, which is very time consuming.
Yes.
And
so, yes,
there's
yes.
going to be a real crackdown. So there may be some tug of war going on here. Yeah.
And I think that's part of the reason we don't want to be portrayed as we're helping the homeless aspect.
No.
That we're promoting, because we don't want to look like we're promoting it.
Yeah.
So because I think that's part of having to clean up the city of San Bernardino is to resolve that homeless problem.
Right.
Yeah. So it's perception. So, like I said, our idea is we are going to be the friendly ones. We're going to do what we need to do to protect that animal and support them to keep that animal if they need to or if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, if it comes down to where we have to confiscate these animals for the best interest of the animal, then we're going to have to do that as well.
Sure.
So,
okay.
You know, it's a double-edged sword, but,
I'm so glad
but
to hear
we,
about this new
at least they're in the process of cleaning that up. That's good to know.
The process with the homeless is nothing new. The city's been working with them. I used to deal with it when I used to be in right away. They are given 24 to 72-hour notice. Once the notice is given, they'll send the right away crew, and basically the city will utilize the inmates that are doing community service to clean them up. It is a problem. An example, the March of Dimes building on 9th and Waterman. Mm. There was about 72 people living there. In complete 72 in complete darkness. That building has a swimming pool inside, and we had to get generators.
It was
to
a good bath.
No, the pool was empty. They used it as a bathroom.
Clean them up.
Oh my god!
I mean, it took us a total of 10 hours to get that place cleaned up. We had to bring generators, and we had to bring masks, and we had to go room to room, getting people out. We secured the building. We welded the doors. 3 months later, they were back.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this has to be an ongoing thing. And
absolutely.
I think the goal is to make it uncomfortable for them. In other words, we are going to keep coming back.
And yeah, we can't start a process. And
we can't. And then they're moving on to the panhandler issue. And the those transients to move into vacant homes.
Oh yeah,
the vacant homes, it is a problem. The the homeless. In dealing with them, my personal opinion is if they're out of sight, why bother with them? Perfect example: Paris Hill Park. If you go east of the Elks Lodge, there's an area that's very secluded. up there, beautiful view and what have you. They had five families there, and we had to tear it down. If they're out of view and they're not being a problem, I mean, the way the economy is, my personal opinion is let them be. If they're downtown, if they're a nuisance, Paris Hill Park or the parks or what have you, then yes, deal with it. Going back to work today, corner of D and 5th Street by the Jack in the Box, by the bus,
yeah.
There was a guy laying down asleep in the bed. The arts building on 5th Street, there was another person there. You get to see them. You drive down East Street at nighttime and you see these homeless people. Part of them, they don't want to get the help. They don't. Mm-mm. They'll 5150 them. They're what, 72 hours and they're out.
Sure. Well, they're supposed to have a mental illness, and lots of the homeless don't have a mental illness.
You'll be surprised at people who are going to Ward B, or the old Ward B. No, seriously, I work Ward B. You'll be surprised. Some of these people, they'll go there when they want to get away, they want to escape.
Yeah, holidays, they have good meals.
Yeah, they get the
warm,
meals,
three
meals, a bed, and a shower. Moving on.
Yeah. I know, right, but I just got to say one thing. When you said they're going to take their belongings away, I've worked with the mentally ill for about 30-some years, and I've talked to so many of them who can make you cry when they talk about the only picture of their parents, the only picture of their children who died at an early age, and somebody came and took it, and it wasn't taking up that much room.
They can really take whatever they can carry.
Yeah.
Well,
they can't take shopping carts, but they can take whatever they can carry.
The good news is that Redlands is beginning to get them now, and boy, does that make me happy. Because, you know, I have all these friends. We don't have them in Redlands.
When they do.
All go to San Bernardino.
All right, one last thing. So in regards to the events that occurred...
December 2nd.
So we were on lockdown when the incident occurred. Mm-hmm. We had both our front and back gates locked down. Everyone, I evacuated everybody except the staff members. We were keeping them inside. And we apparently had, Redlands was trying to pull over a vehicle that had been stolen. Mm-hmm. This individual decided to come through our parking lot, busted through our back gate with the vehicle, and then busted out our front gate, carrying the front gate all the way into the Target parking lot next door. Needless to say, it was a very interesting evening.
Were they caught? Was this person caught?
Yeah, he was eventually caught because he ended up driving directly towards the incident when they opened fire on the vehicle.
He didn't get shot.
Yeah, exactly. So, but ultimately, you know, facilities, I can't praise them enough. I contacted them. They contacted a contractor immediately, and we had the gates up and running. We had one gate up and running within 24 hours, and then both gates up and running within 48 hours. So we were back up, so we got some new gates out of it, and they're going to charge the gentleman.
You were all there when all this happened?
Yeah.
She was actually outside when the guys started driving through.
He almost ran me and Francisco over.
But it was a stolen vehicle happened to be the same time.
Right.
The wrong time.
No, it was a little Honda.
Yeah, it was a little white Honda.
You would have thought it was a tank, but I think he wasn't going to be stopped. He was going for it, and he busted out both gates.
Well, he's lucky to be
alive.
Yes, he is. He sure is.
Okay.
So that counts as part of the damage for December 2nd.
Not necessarily, because it was a separate incident. I was thinking about it. I was hoping for it at the manager's meeting, but no.
It can't be linked to it.
Exactly. Right. And plus, Redlands PD was the one that was dealing with it, so it was a whole different...
So the charge goes back to Redlands PD?
Yeah.
They can afford it.
Oh. Yep. Now.
Let's not make enemies. And that's it. So any questions? Any more questions, I should say?
I have a question I'll wait for after the meeting to ask you, because I've said enough.
Okay.
Okay, we might want to hear it.
Yeah.
Do we want to hear it? Is it pertinent?
Sure, it's pertinent to me.
Okay,
go ahead.
Okay.
I talked to a lady recently who had a dog that needed dental work done.
Okay.
And her vet gave her the name of two or three places that would help her with the exorbitant cost, because she's a limited income person.
Okay.
And I kind of wished I knew more about that.
Okay.
Is it only the vets that can contact them?
No, we have a list, an entire list of various organizations that are offering their support to individuals based on either medical need or spay-neuter needs, some for adoption fees, some for tags, rabies. So it varies. And we just go down the list and call these individuals if we need to and kind of work it out for. But otherwise, we can just provide that information to the individual, and they can explain their situation over the phone.
Would it be inappropriate for us to have a copy of that list?
No.
Just because I was really impressed with it, and I don't know. I'm guessing. I don't know how much it costs to have a tooth extracted on a two-year-old puppy that's had a great big infection. Oh, that little dog looks so bad.
Very expensive.
Can we post the list on the website? On the city's website?
I don't know. I would rather hand it out personally until I find out for sure.
Check with Ruth Parrish.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, I was pleased to hear it and then wondered how come I lived this many years and didn't know about that.
Didn't know about organizations willing to pay for that?
Yeah.
A lot of it has started because we reconnected with the rescues. And then these organizations come connected to the rescues because they help the rescues. So they just come directly to us now and offer their services to us and say, can you please post this or give this information to your clientele that need it and let them know this is how much we're willing to pay. They just have to access the information online.
I think
it's just more people are starting to realize that we're okay accepting that information and being able to pass it on.
And then if someone said, my dog needs this and I can't pay for it, you're not going to say, well, we've got to take that dog away.
Correct. The mentality has changed dramatically and our approach has changed. So that way we can start promoting, we are here to help you. Even though the money may not be coming directly from us, we are here to lead you in the right direction to get you the resources you need so that you can keep your dog. Therefore, the dog doesn't end up with us. Kind of thing. And most of it is because they can't afford the veterinary bills, which are pretty expensive.
She would have sold her own teeth to, you know, get treatment.
And that's what I can appreciate. Most of these people, they love their animals so much, but they financially can't take care of them. So why not help them? They're still going to take care of this animal in the end.
That's great.
And these are the people that will keep the animal all the way through its term versus somebody that's just going to drop it off.
When it gets to be 15 years old, then all will come get another
Because they don't think they have another option. And we'll provide that to them.
I'll say one more thing briefly, and then I will shut up. We went through this list of things, and I remember us talking about it before. And we talked about thinking of some kind of a special program for helping not only veterans, but seniors who might want companion animals.
Correct.
And I would like, you know, to hear more about that or have more of that.
Well, that's something that I have in the back of my mind, but what I'm trying to come up with is the funding for it. It's something that I think we can afford in regards to the spay-neuter and the waiving of the fees. Considering now that we're starting to level off with the amount of money we're making versus our expenses. So once we level that off, I think it'll be easier for me to convince the city council that, hey, let's spend some of this money to do the right thing, to reconnect with the community and help the seniors out. Because they're the ones that are struggling. But then again, they're the ones that are the most responsible that will come automatically to pay their license fees for their animal no matter what. We don't have to come after them. So I think we should do something for them. Of course, a lot of them too also have the mentality that I'm not going to spay neuter my animal. I don't think it's fair to them.
I wouldn't want to be spayed or neutered.
Yeah, exactly. But then we've gotten to the point where we explain to them that what the benefits of it for the animal, that most of the animals will live longer lives because of that.
Sure, and healthier.
And once they start to understand that it's not going to, because some of them just want them as, I don't want their personality to change. It's not going to change. Probably mad at you for a day, but that's about it. And I think once we offer them that help, it's going to put a better light on us in the long run. So, and they will be the ones that promote us in the long run to everybody else.
All right, let's move on to commissioners' comments because it's already.
I have one comment.
Time. It's already 5 o'clock.
Okay.
We're going past the hour.
I'll tell them afterwards.
Okay. I don't want to cut the meeting short.
Just cut me short.
But I have to be somewhere.
Oh, okay.
So that's the reason why I'm normally very quiet. I'm normally very
passive.
But we're trying to make up for 2 months of meetings. The only thing I have to say is I we canceled our last meeting because we had a little get-together with all the commissioners of the city. And I wish Oscar would have attended the meeting, the gathering. It was very informative for us. Coming this year, from what we gathered, Gigi has plans of having more get-togethers with all the commissioners as part of a training of what our responsibilities are and how we could best help our council person and best help our city.
And who from here was there? I was there.
I was there.
Three of us. And I couldn't go, and I wanted to go, and I heard that the food was marvelous.
The food was excellent.
That's what I heard.
And if anybody ever needs a ride, I mean, if you don't drive at night and you need a ride, I'll give you my number.
I asked if anybody was afraid to, you know, I asked a couple of friends that attended, were they afraid to come home at that hour of the night down there.
Being from the First Ward and living four streets away from Mitla, that is one of the most safest corners in town. I mean,
it's a good word, Joe. That's
it. Yeah. It's safe because you have a lot of people who go there. The undesirable element already knows not to mess with that corner.
There's probably a lot of cops that go there.
A lot of, you'll be surprised.
Used to be judges.
You'll be surprised the clientele that that place has. It is the cornerstone, the political magnet for San Bernardino. I mean, from the Senate all the way down to your local council.
The Senate, the state Senate started?
You have, you have a lot of politicians that have meetings there.
Okay.
You're talking about Mitla's now.
Yeah, I'm talking about Mitla's. I mean, that corner, I think, could be one of the safest parts in town.
I just want to tell you that I didn't know exactly where at Mitla's the meeting was, and I got there at my usual just about 10 minutes after I should have been, and I got a parking place right in front, and I thought, what? How did this happen? And I got out, went in the restaurant, and they said, oh, no, they're meeting down there around the corner.
The corner's block.
They bought the Crescendo, that used to be the Crescendo. Actually, the owner owns the entire block.
Yeah, it's been there a long time.
I had a good time with Al. It was good to get to know him better. Yeah. We talked all evening long.
Yes.
But we had a good time.
Do you want to hear my story of that night? It was funny. To me, it was funny.
I was the principal at Alessandro.
Yes, and I think
right around the corner, and I'm well familiar with that corner. Believe me.
I think you taught third or fourth grade. At one time.
Well, you heard to his he, your,
I went there for
teacher?
Summer school. I went there for summer school. And the story of the flutes.
Mitla's is marvelous. They've been wonderful, wonderful community people.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got there and I saw the chief of police. And I had been watching him. I had met other chiefs of police. But I had not met this one. I bet some of you have. And I just had been watching him and was so proud. I walked right up there and said, I just want to shake your hand.
Oh, wonderful.
And I shook his hand. I said, I've been so proud of you. Then I started to cry. Then I got him terribly embarrassed. I was like, now what do I do? Now what do I do? And I said, and I don't even know you. And walked away.
How cute. I bet he got a lot of that, though.
Oh, my God. He got a kick out of that.
I was just, it's like when a little kid wants to do something right, I'm going to go talk to this big shot. You know? I'd like to shake your hand. I've been so proud of you. Yeah.
I could say that I'm not sure not too many people perceive this, but our beloved city attorney took a takeout with him. He grabbed a little bag and took
say
food.
What?
Okay.
Our beloved city attorney took some food home. He made his own plate and he took some for his wife and his family. It was excellent. It was a beautiful ambiance, beautiful food, and I wish we had more. And I wish the staff would have been there.
20
if you
years
haven't gone
or
to lunch there or dinner, I highly recommend.
They always used to say in the old days they did.
But we certainly are hearing some wonderful things about San Bernardino, aren't we?
Yes.
Worldwide.
Yes.
You know, we've certainly achieved. What a way to achieve it! But
the day of
that's a very positive aura. That's.
The day of the shootings, to give you an example, I have family throughout Mexico, mainly Mexico City, and I also have friends in Guatemala.
Oh.
I got text messages during this whole entire event that we were okay. Like the animal shelter, we were on lockdown. We called all of the employees into the yard, kept them in the yard, and we were on lockdown. We could hear from my desk, I could hear all the sirens. And at one point, I'm not sure if you guys got the email, but IT told everybody to get off the computers. They were slowing down the service.
Yeah.
Because everybody was on their computers.
Telling everybody.
On Facebook, and if those who had the necessary access, trying to pull up the local media so they could see what was going on. But any more comments?
Do you know the
great meeting?
Yes, awesome.
And
I talked to him, yeah.
Did you cry?
He walked me to my car once, and I managed to maintain my composure.
Well, I needed to be watching my car, but they had the chief of the fire department do that. I mean, I thought, I want to go to that meeting.
I go to council
again.
Meetings, so I...
With that, I motion for to us and our meeting.
And I second.
Motion carried.
And I shut up. Next time, we'll have this list of...
Yes, I'll bring the list.
Eileen, the new public information officer, cornered me this morning, asking me loads of questions about the animal control operation in the city.
Okay.
And they were more than just polite. She's adopted dogs from the shelter.
Okay.
She was very interested, and the last thing she said to me was, I think I need to visit that shelter. And I said, I think you need to, too, if you're going to be the public information officer.
Definitely.
So hopefully she'll get out there.
Okay, and I have an interview next Tuesday, phone interview with
Tish
Lambert. I believe. Do you know who she is?
I know the name.
She works for the media, but she's a reporter that just, she's always wandering around. But she's been in contact with me multiple times, and she's on the list, which
good.
I send out every week.
Good.
So she's kind of been following our development. So she kind of wants to promote us a little more.
That's great.
to kind of get the rescues to settle down a little bit, the ones that are on the negative side. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that'll give us a good opportunity to kind of get our game plan out there and promote is a lot more.
Have we ever had a public information officer before?
Well, yes. This is for the police department, and yes,
the
they have.
Department.
And,
the city
and
has
Sherry Williams retired, or is retiring the end of, it is Sherry Williams,
okay,
at the end of February,
yeah.
And Eileen is taking her place.
Who's
I think
Lawhead?
I spoke to Eileen briefly.
I see him quoted all the time.
Who?
Lawhead, is that his name?
Oh,
Richard
Lawhead.
Lawhead.
He's the commander Lawhead. Of the Southwest, everything south of Baseline. He's in charge of everything north of Baseline. Is Travis?
I thought Walker. He must be a spokesperson because
he is. He's
well,
our
he
media
is.
Relations.
He's
contact.
Done that before. Yeah,
they're cute guys, nifty guys.
Yeah,
they
he
are.
Used to come to our neighborhood.
I know. Yeah.
Yep. I haven't come enough to know the new person, but
you're not gonna cry, are you? I know you paused for a minute there.
It was an emotional day. I get it. I mean, it was an emotional day. I shed a few tears too.
Okay. I'm just going
to
get
out in front of the chief.
Doing that. That's what I Wanda?
I appreciate your honesty.
It's a great story.
But then I did